John chapter number 19. You pray for me, and it seems to happen a lot here at Island Ford. I'll try to prepare, and then it seems like the Lord will, and I want Him to do that. I want to be able to follow the Lord, and just got a thought here tonight out of the text that I was reading and studying this week, and I was just thinking about this thought, so I'll just try to give it to you some way the Lord gave it to me, and hopefully He'll say something to you.
Amen.
Out of the text. And so John chapter number 19, again, thank you for the good rooms and the food and all the fellowship, and appreciate all of that. We're going to read from verse 28 down through verse number 42. So if you're not able to stand that long, I understand. But the most important thing that will be done here tonight is the reading of God's Word. Amen. Now, preaching is important, but thank God for His Word. Amen.
Yeah.
He's magnified His Word above all His name. And that's a scary thing to know that I'm standing here with His Word, and it's magnified above all His name. But I'm glad it's settled in heaven. So let's read here John chapter number 19. And this is Jesus. He's already on the cross. They've already spit in His face. They've already mocked Him. They've already blindfolded Him, if I'm remembering it correctly, and smote Him and said, "Tell us who hit you." He knew who it was, amen.
Sure.
He is still willing to stay on the cross. I believe He said before the cross, He didn't have to go to the cross.
Right.
I mean, they could have come and delivered Him. And I believe, right, no doubt, if He'd have made the call, they could have come and took Him off of Calvary's cross. But I'm glad He endured the cross, despising the shame, because of the joy that was set before Him.
Yes,
amen. And so let's read this, John 19, verse 28. The Bible said, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." Now, we've just seen this description of Calvary, and that it was from the cross. And look at verse 38. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word, and I stand here in need of your touch. Each time, Lord, it seemed like I just need you every time that I stand and preach, and I pray that you'd speak through me tonight.
Yes.
You know what everybody needs, and I pray that you'd encourage the saints of God tonight. Thank you for touching my heart with what I've read myself. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. And so we're looking here at this text. The Bible tells us how that the Word of God, just like the Word of God said would happen, Jesus, and I'm glad that He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law, and all the prophecies were fulfilled on Him, and will be fulfilled when He comes. Amen. And so he's on the cross, and he's faced many different things, mockery, and they spit upon him, all these different things that are taking place. And to imagine that the Son of God, with a parched tongue, and his tongue cleaving to the roof of his mouth, as he said there in Psalm 22, as he's hanging there, and the Creator of all men, and men are crucifying the Creator there on that cross. And the Bible tells us that it was that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, that they looked on Him whom they pierced. Now, verse number 38, the Bible said, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea. Now, the Bible says after this, and if you know, if you studied about the life of Joseph of Arimathea, as far as I know, he's only mentioned in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us about this man named Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible tells us some things about him, how that he was a secret disciple. The Bible tells us that he was a rich man, and he was also called in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27, he was one of Jesus' disciples. And I believe it's here in this text, it says that he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. And I had this thought as I was studying this on Calvary makes the difference. Amen. Calvary makes the difference. And so I believe that Joseph was there at Calvary. I believe that because the Bible tells us, I believe it's in the book of Luke, verse number 51, that he did not consent to their deeds, their counsel, and their deeds. That tells me that if he didn't consent to it, he knew what they was going to do. Amen. And I believe, I mean, I don't know if you can exactly prove this, but I believe that Joseph was there at Calvary that day, and he was a witness to what took place. I mean, he was a man of authority, a man of riches, and for it to say there, I believe when it says that he did not consent to their deed and their counsel, what that meant is he didn't go along with them crucifying the Son of God. I mean, but he was still a secret disciple, and evidently until he saw what happened at Calvary. Amen. And so Calvary made the difference in his life. I'm glad that because of Calvary, that I've been made a new creature. I'm a new person. But you know what? I want to be more and more what I ought to be for the Lord. Don't you? I mean, I want more of my life to shine for the Lord. I don't want to live for God in secret. I don't want to live for God just ashamed and fear. The Bible says he did it secretly for fear of the Jews. There's been a few times in my life, and if you've been saved by the grace of God and so you still live in this flesh, I'm fearful sometime to be a witness and to speak his name. I'm just being honest. I mean, there's some people you get around and it just don't seem like it flows around them, and the Holy Ghost tells you to do that, but fear grips your heart and you're not able to speak to them about your Lord and your Savior, the dearest friends you ever had, the one that laid down his life for you. And I'm sad that there's been times that I've been ashamed to speak his name. Am I the only sinner in the house here tonight? I mean, there's been times when I should have said something, but I tried to hide behind the scenes of my fear, worried about what somebody might say about me, how they might associate me with the Lamb of God. I hate that, don't you? But it's just a fact and a reality. I believe what help all of us is that Calvary make a difference in our life. And that what Paul said, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hey, sometimes it's hard to live by faith in the flesh, but that's how we're going to live one day. We're not going to have to live by faith anymore. It's going to be done away with, but living by the faith in the flesh is a hard thing. I can't think of any more of a motivating factor to live the Christian life than Calvary. I'm glad, thank God, that the Old Testament saints, by inspiration, they look forward to this day. Amen. They look forward to the day when the Messiah would come and the Scriptures would be fulfilled. And right here before the very eyes of the mockers and the scoffers and even the saints of God that stood there, Joseph was called a good man. He was called a just. He was called an honorable counselor. I believe he was saved. Amen. To be called a just man. And tonight it's possible to be born again and to be a secret disciple, to not be what you ought to be. I believe we'll be more than we are, more and more what we are, if we'll let Calvary make the difference in our life. Amen. Somehow making some sense tonight. I got a lot of chicken scratch here, and I'm trusting the Lord to put it together to help you out tonight. So you'll see here Joseph of Arimathea. I thought about him being a rich man. And he is a human. You know, Jesus lived as a poor man here upon the earth. Isn't that right? He lived as a poor man. I don't know whether he thought, what are they going to think that I'm associating with this poor man? I'm sure glad tonight that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich, the Bible says. I'm glad he was willing to come. He is a God, was a God, that the Bible said owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he is willing to come down as a man and to make himself lower than a servant, to be obedient unto death, and we ought to, that ought to be the main motivating factor tonight, is Calvary. Does that make sense? I believe it made the difference in Joseph's life, and I believe it'll make the difference in your life and my life. Amen. Say, why should I serve him? Calvary. The songwriter said, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, and he says, knowing not that for me he died on Calvary. And he said, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man at Calvary, thank God. I'm glad that's where, but the last part of it says there, it said, what is the last part? Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Isn't that at Calvary? Isn't that the last verse? Hey, Joseph looked at what was going on. I mean, he was a disciple. He'd heard what Jesus said. There was times where Jesus let it be known that he was going to Calvary. He may not have said Calvary, but he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to be spit upon and mauled and crucified, and I'm going to die. I mean, Peter said, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He said, I'm going to do my Father's will. Hey, you, I'm glad he was willing to do it, aren't you? Hey, there ain't nothing too much to ask from of us from the Lord because of Calvary tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it'll make a difference in how you walk, how you talk.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Yes. And Joseph, he followed his walk before Calvary. Isn't that what the word disciple means? Somebody that walked along with him, followed him, listened to what he had to say, listened to his teaching. Wouldn't that be right? Amen. He followed, I'm going to say he followed his walk. And you know what? Joseph could testify what some others testified, that he went about doing good.
Amen.
That's all he went about doing.
Right.
Amen. He followed his walk as he was one of his disciples. That's what that means, Brother Philip, to be a follower of the Lord. Am I right tonight? And so he followed his walk. He heard his words. And dear friend, he heard about what he was going to go through. And thank God. But still, that didn't bring him out of his secrecy, if I'm looking at this right.
Right.
But Calvary did.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I said by inspiration, they looked forward to Calvary, that the Messiah was going to come and be wounded for their transgressions and bruised for their iniquities and all of that. I'm glad by preservation you and I can look back at Calvary and look in the Word of God. When's the last time you went by Calvary?
Amen.
Amen, bro.
Amen. But you'll see here, Joseph, here's the main things in here in just a minute. Joseph followed his walk before Calvary. He heard about his wounds before Calvary. He listened to his words. But you know what? When he got there and he saw him be willing to go up to Calvary,
yeah,
he went willingly to Calvary.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
I don't believe, I mean, I know they was beating him, or they beat him at Praetorium and beat him at the place called Pavement, and he was carrying his own cross, and he was under a heavy load so much that fella coming out of the country, what was his name again, bore the cross after him, helped him, if I'm understanding right, took the end of that cross and helped him. But listen, gee, he watched him go up there to Calvary willingly.
Yeah.
While he was hanging on Calvary, he saw his wounds.
Oh, yeah.
He saw those wounds, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He saw that spit spittle coming down his face. I mean, hey, I don't know how close Joseph, I believe he was there. I mean, he heard his words as he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It wasn't just talking about Joseph, it's talking about you, and it's talking about me. He has forgiven you there on the cross of Calvary, and he cried out, I thirst, and all the words that he heard there. Hey, we ought to look in this book right here and look at Calvary and listen to Calvary. Amen. Old Thomas, Jesus appeared in the room to him and it says, but Thomas wasn't there. Boy, you miss some things when you miss church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thomas wasn't there. John 20, verse 24, Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. There was some that heard about it and didn't understand necessarily all this right, and they didn't get to see what they saw there that day. And you and I weren't there to see Calvary, physically see Calvary, but thank God we can go back with the Holy Ghost. We don't need Hollywood to put it on a screen somewhere. We got this Bible right here, and you ought to keep going back to Calvary. Amen. You're having a bad day. Get in the gospel, in the latter part of the gospels, and look at Calvary, amen. By the way, you wouldn't have a Calvary if you didn't have a King James Bible.
Right.
It's the only one that's got Calvary in it.
That's right.
Amen. So Calvary makes the difference.
Amen.
Calvary will make the difference. You say, well, I don't know if I can be made any better than I am. This man was a good man, an honorable counselor, a rich man, a good man, a just man, a disciple of Jesus. But listen, Calvary took him further than what he was. That's what it'll do for you and me tonight. Really getting a hold of Calvary will take you further and further. You can't run the race like you ought to without looking to Calvary. Bible said in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, it said, wherefore, since we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is that not saying if you want to run the race, you don't want to make us lay down sin where we can run the race? Calvary.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Now let's go back, and we saw what John said about it, and nothing else. I'll show you the different places. Go back to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. Luke 23 and verse number 50. The Bible said, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Amen. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in a stone wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. But notice here, it tells us something else here. It tells us that Joseph went in and begged the body of Jesus. And he took his body down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone wherein never man before was laid. He didn't give him second best.
That's right.
Let me give you the main outline and try to bring it all together. Here's what Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus will come at the end. Try to remember my title here. Calvary makes a difference.
Amen.
Calvary made him show up, speak up, pay up. Amen.
Amen.
And team up.
Right. Amen.
You know, you get a real good look at Calvary, it'll really determine how you treat God's body.
Yes, sir.
And I say that, making a point there, amen.
Yeah.
Go to Mark chapter number 16. Or excuse me, Mark chapter number 15. Verse number 42. If nothing else tonight, you'll learn where all these different places are in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Glad I got four Gospels, aren't you? I learned more and more about Jesus. Verse 42, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Boy, that's a strange expression to us, isn't it? And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And so some things that I see in this, he shows up. He's not in secret anymore.
Right.
Amen?
Yep.
I believe one of the main reasons you ought to show up at the house of God is because of Calvary.
Amen.
I believe people that forsake assembling with the body of Christ, they've got a problem that they really don't have their eyes on Calvary like they ought to. They don't really realize the price that the Lord paid on the cross of Calvary for their sins, that they don't really realize what he's done. But you'll find out he showed up.
Amen.
Amen. So I ain't going down there. I don't like them people down there. But be careful how you treat his body. Can I make that application?
Right.
The church called his body, isn't that right?
Yes.
And when he is in heaven and Saul of Tarsus was persecuting his church, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, he was holding the coats while they were stoning Stephen to death. He was threatening, crying out, threatening and slaughter with letters in his hand to go and to take anybody that way and to put them in prison. You know what Jesus in essence is saying? You're doing that to me.
Right.
Wouldn't that be right?
Right.
Amen. The church is his hands in this earth. The church is his feet in this earth. The church is his mind in this earth with his mind. Amen. And so, let me just say it again. How you treat his body will be determined on what you think about Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. That word, he craved the body of Jesus. He wasn't wanting to go in there and eat his body. Amen. That just meant asking with great desire. If I studied that word right. Amen. I mean, on and on you could go about this. What great desire. He was willing to show up. He was willing to speak up. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to be a secret disciple. I want to speak up. When the Lord had me to speak up, I want to testify. When's the last time you testified in the house of God? Magnified the Lord. When's the last time you did it home? On and on. Calvary will make you do that.
Yes, sir.
Brother Troy, when I read about Calvary, I want to realize he done that for me. And realize how unworthy I was, how unworthy I am. Amen. I'm glad. It ought to make me want to tell somebody about what he's done for me and not be afraid of what they think about me. You know what could have happened to him? Just, it says he went boldly into Pilate's. Into Pilate, isn't that what it says? Verse 43, Joseph Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Pilate was a wicked man.
Yes, sir.
Everything I read about him, he was a vicious killer is who Pilate was. Amen. And hey, it took something in his, it took Calvary, amen, that all of a sudden, when it says boldly, that's telling me he barged right in there. He is willing to go in, whatever it called. He wanted that body to show respect even to that human body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ loved the church. He loved his body, the church, so much that he was willing to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever forget, thank God Calvary was to save us. But Calvary was also to situate us in the house of God with the people of God. And Calvary, thank God for it. If it hadn't been for Calvary, I wouldn't even want to be in the house of God. If it wasn't for Calvary, there wouldn't be no local church. There wouldn't be the people of God. Is that right tonight? And so Calvary makes the difference.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Calvary made the difference and Calvary makes the difference.
Yes, sir.
He showed up. He spoke up. He paid up. says he went and bought fine linen there in verse number 46, doesn't it? Verse 44, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. There's some things he paid up. Amen. Is it here? Another place, I believe it's in Matthew, said it was his own new tomb. It was his own new tomb. Never a man had laid in that tomb. He is a rich man. He probably could have said, hey, I don't know. He could have got him any tomb, but he gave him his tomb. He could have bought another tomb, but hey, he gave the one that was set aside for him, evidently.
Right.
He is willing to go by another place that says clean linen. Y'all see the care he was taking for the body of Jesus? And it looks like it took Calvary to get him, get that kind of drive in his life. Am I making any sense tonight? That's what it'll take.
Amen.
He showed up, he spoke up, he paid up. He is willing to give up. Verse 46, I don't know if he knew he wasn't going to need it very long. Amen. But. Amen. Well, evidently he knew because Jesus told him. He told his disciples, surely sometime Joseph heard him say, I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to mock. And didn't he say it? I'm going to rise again. Amen. Hey, Joseph, whether he is going to need it for 3 days or however long, Joseph just knew because of Calvary and what he's seen him go through, he was willing, thank God, to give up whatever. What are we willing to give up for Calvary?
Amen.
Pay up all this. Go back to John 19 where we was at. The last one I was going to have and I'll be done tonight. Amen. Shortest message ever preached. Let's just read through it again, verse 38. And after this, after Calvary, do you see that? After him seeing, I believe, seeing his wounds, hearing his words, seeing him willing to go to Calvary, setting his face as it were a flint toward Calvary, seeing him willing to do the will of God, to go to that extent, to go that far with it. Verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes of the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. I just see out of that a unity. I mean, it don't call Nicodemus a secret disciple, but you sure don't hear much about him after John chapter 3.
Yep.
Isn't that right? You don't hear a lot about him.
Nope.
You don't see much, but listen, Calvary did something to these two men.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. Another place it says in Luke 23:55, you don't have to say it, it says the women that came. Nicodemus or Joseph started working with those women that came around the sepulcher. And evidently Nicodemus was there. Only thing to keep this church unified and doing the work of God is Calvary.
Amen. That's right.
That'd be a good way to end it tonight, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Calvary makes a difference. You're going to let it make a difference in you.
Amen.
Made a difference in Joseph's life.
Amen.
Amen. Let's shepherd you come. Need a fresh look at Calvary tonight.